This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Welcome back to another week of the Own It Show Coach Conversations. And I'm Justin.
I'm Elise, and welcome to the Own It Show.
So guys, I know in the past couple of weeks, we've really been hearing from just people who have helped guide you in terms of habits, guide you in terms of what do you need to do to get to this next level in your life? And what things do you need to adopt that can really change the way in which you work? And today we've got somebody who's really lived this in two major extremes and been able to come through and not only do that for himself and change his entire life around independent of his circumstance, but also is now able to do that for others and doing it at a massive scale. So without further ado, I'm really excited to bring this guy on. Anthony Trucks, it's a pleasure to have you.
Hey, thank you for being delighted to be here, actually. I'm excited too, because you guys are good people, man. I don't know if you guys know these individuals behind the scenes, but they are solid human beings. So, man, I appreciate getting to just come hang out with you guys.
No, it's so exciting having people like you on, Anthony. And I know we've got a solid relationship behind the scenes. Oftentimes in these types of settings, it's, hey, you bring somebody on for a podcast and then never talk to them again. But that's not the case here. It's we love who you are and integrate in with you in many different facets. But it's always a pleasure to have you on and really to just learn your story and get your story out to our audience, teach them a little bit about what you've had to overcome, what you've done, and how you've been able to now transcend that into not just your business, but also the new book you've come out with and the work that you've been doing. So kind of give us a little background as to what drove you and motivated you to get into this line of work in shifting people's identities and shifting who they see themselves as and the work and ultimately that they're able to put out into the world.
Yeah, I think it was all just life, man. Life takes you down weird pathways, doesn't it? You always end up somewhere you didn't expect to be, but it's not always a place you don't want to be. So for me, I ended up in this weird area where life has a way of kicking your butt, I think. And that's kind of the beauty and the beast of it all. But I had an interesting upbringing. I grew up in foster care. I was really, abused by different people mentally, emotionally, physically. I was all raised in an all-white family, very poor. So like I grew up in a weird, non-diverse, questioning my identity experience. I never really quite understood, like, who is this guy? I'm the foster kid. I'm the black kid in an all-white family. I'm the poor kid. I'm not the very smart kid. I'm not the athletic kid. I was never that thing that you know everybody looks up to as being great. And so what ended up happening was I tried to figure out, well, who is Ant? Where do I fit? How do I navigate this world? And it turned into me finding a really interesting space where I could be myself, which was sports, in an area where I just chose to find a way to be better. That was the best way I could think about it. I made a choice, a decision, like I'm gonna be great at something. And so I leaned in and that turned into a interesting momentum that turned into me getting a college scholarship, playing professional football, eventually, you know, leaving the game and building a cool business, man. But in between all those cool things, a whole lot of craziness and crappiness, but I've been able to be an American Ninja Warrior on TV. I've been on National Geographic's Remote Survival. I just got done doing this show called Mental Samurai with Rob Lowe on Fox. I've been in a whole bunch of cool podcasts. I've spoken around the world. So a lot of the things that I've been able to go to are because of what I went through. So what I didn't share is I had a kid at 20 years old in college, found my real dad in college. I lost a grandparent to suicide, lost a grandparent to cancer. I then also, after college with the NFL and lost a career to injury. Then from there, came home, marriage fell apart, had a couple more kids with my high school sweetheart. We were married. Marriage fell apart, got divorced, wasn't a present father. Business kind of sucked. My adoptive mom passed away from multiple sclerosis. And I had a lot of points in time where I was like suicidal. I'm like, this sucks, man. This is life after football. I don't want any of this. So navigate all these ups and downs of my identity and finally got to a point where I realized it was something that we, one, have all done, which is make these shifts. And two, I'd oddly got through things that most people get stuck for a lifetime on, but multiple. And so someone pressed me to figure out what was that thing I did. And so I kind of went back and looked and realized there were some things I did differently than most people. And a lot of it was always questioning, who am I? Who do I want to be? And how do I become that person? And so that's what led me to all the cool stuff in life. And now, after doing a lot of the work myself, I'm not a guy that will talk about how to run the race until I've crossed the stinking finish line. But at this point, man, I have a 7-figure business. I have a healthy body. I have a marriage that I love. I'm remarried to my ex-wife. My kids have happy, healthy parents. I still coach sports. I was coaching football till 8 o'clock last night with my son while doing a whole entire long day of meetings. And I got books coming out, like all these things. And I realized that if I can find ways to extract what it is that I did and pass it on to people and they can take a small segment of it, it can change their lives. So that's what I choose to do.
That's such an impressive thing that you do. And it's so clear that you have dedicated so much of your time, your being, and your essence to become this new version of yourself. And it's clear. And it's clear that there's almost two different chapters. There's a pre-ownership phase and there's a post-ownership phase, and you're living in this new post-ownership phase. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey of how, I mean, we know a little bit about your background, but how did you really get to this place that you're living in right now? I mean, we heard the tangible things, but talk to us about your mindset. Talk to us about some of the work that you did. What went into really doing it? Because so often we have people come on and they're like, yeah, you know, it can appear as if you just do it, right? But it's never as easy as just doing it. So talk to us about what really went into that process for you.
I mean, to be honest, a lot of it goes into the process of first removing the ego, because we have these things we call egos that aren't always bad. I call it everyone's greatest obstacle, because it does get in our way. It becomes this thing where we don't want to let anybody see us sweat, especially in a social media world of like everything's great and amazing and it's all golden and beautiful, right? And it's really not. Like, a lot of times it's not. And so the first thing I had to do was drop the ego that wanted to not let anybody see me sweat, because I realized this: if you never give yourself permission to need help, you never give yourself permission to improve. Like, I got to give myself permission to seek out a help. And that's the first stage of it all. Now I can give myself permission to improve, which means anything I do, when someone wants to come poke at me, I'm like, it's fine. I'm trying to get better right now. Yeah, you did find a weakness or a hole. I'm trying to get better. So that's the first piece, is giving myself that space. The second piece, the second stage, is the one, it's actually what I call the shift method. This is something that I created and I've perfected over a couple of years now, just having people go through it. And so the first stage of it is, it's the C stage. The C stage, and I do it with a smile on my face, because this is the one that I laugh in my head when I watch people go through it, because they think at face value, it's just like, oh, I see some things and I work on them. It is not that. The C stage is where you get to go and really take a look at who you are. It's a great statement I love, and it goes, you cannot see the label when you're inside the jar. And a lot of people are in our jars. We are in our heads, in our world, in our lives, and we don't even know what's truly going on. So we're doing things and we're wondering why we can't find headway, why we can't succeed, why can't I make progress, why can't I get where I want to get? And most of the time it's because the work you're doing isn't the right work for you. And so the first step of it's really having a moment. And we have processes that we actually go through in our methods where we actually have you utilize outside people and do some things internally that allow you to genuinely see who you are. And when you do, man, it kind of sucks. When I was, it was 2016. And I remember I woke up New Year's Day, 2016. I took a look in the mirror and I had this ultimate wave of shame for the guy looking back at me. I was, you know, a guy who I would not want my daughter to ever be with. I would never want my boys to be like me. My mom would not approve and my God wouldn't let me into heaven. Just, it was not the kind of human that does things great. And that was just a shameful feeling. That wasn't even me yet looking at who I really was. And when I took a look, man, it is hard to see sometimes. It's hard to let go. Like, oh, I had a big role to play in my marriage falling apart. Ah, I'm not a good father. I'm not a good business leader. I'm not doing a good job leading my team. I'm out of shape. I'm telling people to go take care of their bodies. I'm going home and drinking beers in the afternoon. Like, this is not the guy, right? So I was like, ah, that sucks. But now I knew what to work on. Because what happens for a lot of people, the second stage is the shift stage. The shift stage is the work. It's the actions you take to create a different life. It's the actions you take to actually shift your identity. What that looks like is, I don't want to say it's intricate, but it's something you have to think through. But a lot of people, they want to jump to it quick. And what it looks like, we'll call it face value, is adjusting habits, you know, the driving force. It's how you do things daily. And most people, man, they jump to it. I'm going to take Justin's habits and I'm going to do what Justin does. And I'm going to take Elise's habits and I'm going to do what she does. And I'm going to go find Bob and Bill because I like them. I'm going to do what they do. And then you get to the point of like, how come I am so burnt out and I'm nowhere farther ahead? I've spent some time in this. I've done the energy work. I've meditated. I, you know, all these things. And then you come to find out, you didn't actually go to the first stage and see that your problem is, you don't admit your faults. So when you're in arguments with your wife, the two of you are arguing and you never take any blame for anything. So she doesn't serve at a level and you don't serve her at a level. That's a negative cycle because it starts with you never taking ownership. Or, you know, maybe you're a bad communicator at work. So yeah, you can't get promoted because every time they think about promoting you, you do something stupid and they think this guy can't lead our company. This girl can't lead our company, right? And the thing is you could work on a bunch of stuff, but if you didn't work on your stuff, you never get ahead. And so the third part of this is where, let's say you do see who you're supposed to be. And I call that the identity you want to shift to. I call it your zone identity. Like being an athlete, you get it. When you're in the zone, it's like a flow. Like everything just seems to just melt away and I move smooth. And you can get into that zone for like a period of time, years sometimes when you're playing the game. Tom Brady is like living in the zone, dude. He's a different breed. He's you know what I'm talking about? And so what I look at is that first piece, the seeing stage, is like, what are your zone lags? What are the parts of the zone like that you are lagging in somewhere? Then I call it a personalized shift plan, which your personal shift plan based on lags. The third piece I call the discipline system. There's this process that takes place where, like, everything kind of just starts in the beginning. It's hard. You ever like done work at like a Starbucks and you get there the first 10, 15 minutes, like it's, you got to focus. And after a while, all of a sudden you wake up, it's been like 3 hours.
Yeah,
totally.
You know, like it's like, oh, where the time go? And so that's kind of how an identity shift works, but it happens because of a discipline system. In the beginning, I'm sitting down, situating, I'm looking at things. And all of a sudden in the middle of the work, I drown out and I'm still working and I pop up. 3 months later, 6 months later, and I go, dang, look what I got done. Like, oh my God. Like, and not only did you get that done, but you feel like a different person. You accomplished something that gives you a different sense of pride, different sense of confidence, right? You've transformed a little bit because you had to grow a little bit. That discipline system is what a lot of people, they lack. I call it disgusting discipline, to the level where people go, this dude is just, it's gross how much he just goes and never gets, he never stops. It's dialed in. So you're sitting here saying, how do people do this? What does it look like? The first thing, ego's got to pull away. Second thing, you got to figure out what your zone identity looks like. Then from there, you're progressing through having figure out what your zone lags are, what your specific shift plan is, and then have a discipline system you put in. And this, I mean, you could seriously at face value, take that and go with it. There's a process to do it, but if you do it right, it's not guesswork. So for me, you said, hey, Ant, how'd you do that? I did that. It took me forever because I didn't know what I was doing at first, but I was like, what's my ego portion I got to deal with? Dealt with that. Second thing was like, I looked at myself and said, oh, that's what Ant has to work on. I was going having conversations with people that I really didn't want to, apologizing for things I didn't want to apologize for. I was owning up to a lot of things that really made me feel like an idiot to have to admit it. But at the end of the day, it needed to be done, right? But then I did it for so long that it became this fluid flow. And I popped up 10 months later, my marriage is back together and I'm in better shape. And I got kids that love dad and mom and they're in the same house. Like there's a different world, but that's what it looked like for me, is doing the things that would typically twist your damn stomach up, but doing them knowing where they're taking you.
So really what you're saying is you have to get really uncomfortable and really, really honest with yourself in order to make shift happen. Yeah. Without doing that, the recipe doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. It won't. I call it stupid uncomfortable, like four O's.
you're making a cake without any leavening powder. You're just going to come out a pancake.
Yeah. What I'm curious to know, though, and this is something that Justin and I have dealt with before, is what do you say to people who want to go through this process, but say, I have no discipline?
Yeah, well, you don't have any discipline. It's fine. Here's the thing is, you don't have to have discipline to begin with. You're not supposed to. The people that I have met, they don't actually say like, I am disciplined. It's like, I have discipline or I am disciplined. And what we're waiting for is we're waiting to feel that before we start that. But that's never how it is. In fact, that's when you should start, when you don't feel like you have it. Because whenever I live my life, I'm not constantly going, I'm disciplined, I'm disciplined, I'm disciplined. However, I am, right? It's usually when you're just doing things in a flow and it's a daily stacking of progressive things over and over and over again. So when someone goes, yeah, I'm not disciplined. Yeah, I know you're not. That's why you're looking to talk to me right now. Because those who are disciplined, they usually don't hire us. And it's okay. I'm not for everybody, right? But we are for the people who realize what discipline can do. And here's the big thing. It's supposed to be incremental, not monumental. It's not supposed to be this one big emotional gusto on day one and it rolls. No, the idea is, can you learn to have, like I say, can you learn to fall in love with the day and not just the destination? That's the thing. For me, if I get to the point of falling in love with the day, the daily morning routine, daily exercise, the daily meetings, the daily podcasts, whatever these things, I love these things. This is my day. I love the day. But I know that the day, if it's stacked together, creates this process where I'll get to the destination. So discipline for me becomes this thing is like, I'm not trying to force myself to stay disciplined. I want to fall in love with it. Then discipline isn't as much of a need. It's more of a description of what I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Completely, because I'll use it in another context. Is so often we talk about this level of motivation of, well, I'm not motivated. I don't feel like I have motivation. Well, we're expecting to feel it before you take action. And action is actually what precedes motivation. When you take action, you get more motivated to do X. And so the same thing here with the discipline factor is as you start to take them into bite-sized nuggets and start to look at them in, like you said, falling in love with the day, falling in love with the process, choosing one thing to really get disciplined on and fall into that flow state, all of a sudden you start to want this discipline. You start to crave it and it becomes a part of what you do rather than something external that's being pulled through willpower, which as we know is always fleeting and something that will come up shy every single time in terms of success.
Yeah.
When you have a client and you're sitting there and we're going through the shift method and you're like, hey, you choose, what is it that you want to accomplish? What is it that you want to do? I guarantee you, you can get there. I guarantee you can accomplish it. Mm-hmm. But it's going to require consistency and discipline in X. Yes. I guarantee you, whatever you want, it is guaranteed in right. X. You just need to be disciplined and consistent. And it's really not failure that we're scared of. We fail every single day. We fail multiple times a day. It's yeah. really not failure that we're scared of. It's not being able to be consistent that we're scared of.
To an extent. I think there's, yeah, for sure, it's the... I don't know if it's the failure, but when you say like lack of consistency, I think what it is people don't like to live out of alignment. We don't like to go to bed not liking ourselves. So when we look at the aspect of I fall out of, you know, I can't get things done or I fail at something, to not be consistent is pretty much like I'm going to beat myself up and I don't like that. So we won't set ourselves up for failure, so to speak. So we don't take that extra responsibility. We don't take the extra step. We don't go out of our comfort zone because what if I don't do well and I have to sit with me and know I didn't do well? It does become a weird thing. And so what we call failure, oddly, it's the funny thing is like failure isn't even, we all talk about failure. Failure, in fact, has multiple levels to it. And if you think through the levels of it, it's actually something you can utilize as a way to perceive the future and also grab fuel from the past. It's just understanding that it's not abject. It's not the end of the world. You know, if someone broke up with you, it's like you're not unlovable. That version of you sucked, or, you know, that was should have been predictable because things happen in life. And so what happens is there are certain people just, they seem to go out without any fear of failure. You're fearless. I'm not fearless. I'm just logical with this. I try these things and I do them knowing that I am not the failure. It's just, I attached myself to the effort, not the outcome, the day, but not the outcome, not the destination. And when I attach myself to the effort, it doesn't matter if I do well or not. At the end of the day, I'm like, you know, you gave your all, man. Good job. You won, dude. And so if I can frame it that way, then yeah. But when people frame it in a sense of, you know, I'm scared of the failure, which you're right. It's not really the failure. It's the discipline and consistency, which is really tied to how do I feel about myself if I do or don't do it.
No, I love that. And as I continue to read your book, I appreciate that, by the way. If you're watching on YouTube, definitely dive into Identity Shift. It's coming out. We'll get into that in a second. Coming out in the, when is it coming out? Next couple months?
Though? August 24th, man.
August 24th, almost a month to the day.
You can actually pre-order it now and get all a whole bunch of cool freebies.
Love that. But there was a concept in there, and I know you kind of walked through a little bit of what the shift method looks like between those three intersecting circles of see, seek, and what was the third one?
See, shift, sustain.
See, shift, sustain. But there was a something that hit me like right square in the face and really had me just like aha moment was your image of the tree and talking about the roots and the fruit. Can you dive into that a little bit as to how this really can be utilized in somebody's life? Because for me, that was really powerful.
Yeah, man. So this is one that had to do with my life. So for me, when I look at us, I was football. Football was a really big piece of my life. You obviously hockey. And so if for anybody, no matter what you've done, if you've invested a certain amount of time, energy, heart, life into something, let's say, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, a decade, right? What ends up happening is we develop this sense of self wrapped in this thing. For some people, it could be the job, the parent. I'm a parent of three kids, right? I have this, you know, this big bank account, nice house, nice car, whatever it is. What happens is life happens, right? And if whether by choice or by chance, you find yourself not doing that thing anymore. You left the military, kid went to college, you changed jobs. You want to change jobs. Maybe you sold your house and you can't find another dream house, whatever it is, choice or chance. When you wake up on a day and you aren't doing that thing, you're met with this internal crisis. It's really this like sense of like, who am I? It's a question that it's deep and it's dark and I don't have an answer for it. And it's a very odd, because humans, we like to do things, man. We are magical in motion. When we're not in motion, we feel stagnant, feel odd. Even if you're sitting down watching a TV show, there's emotion to the thought process, right? When you're sitting there doing nothing and you have no idle hands, dude, it sucks because I'm used to giving something of my energy and now I'm not doing it. So what happens is we get those stages. And for me, when I left football on injury, I was this apple on a tree. And no matter what it is, we are apples on a tree. And the tree falls, or the apple falls off the tree, and then the hits the ground. And it can last for a little bit. Here's the thing. The apple doesn't hit the ground and go turn into rotten apple immediately, right? But it hangs for a bit. It can be picked up, taken to the store, go from the store to your house. You can sit at your house, eventually eat it. But if you don't, the apple rots. And that's how we feel over time. Because it's detached. It's just by itself. And eventually, like, man, you start to realize I'm never going to go back to the military. My kids are never going to be young again. I'm never going to live in that same house. I'm never going to be in that relationship again. No matter what it is, I'm never going to play that game. I remember my last football game and it still hits me like I'm never going to put a helmet on and go run down a field like that again. That is a heavy thing. And then it darkens us because we can't do it. And we feel like we're, who am I? I'm worthless. I can't get back to my zone. It all sucks. And then what I realized after years of my life just being funky, man, is I've never been the apple. You've never been the apple. We have always and will always be the tree. And that simple realization was a game changer for my life. Because it's like, if you think about it, the tree created the apple. It got the job, it got the guy, it got the girl, it got the house, it got the car. And in our heads, we're thinking that piece of fruit's the only fruit, but it's like, dude, no. If you realize, like for me, when I lost football, that was a big precursor to my marriage falling apart, my health falling apart, not being a good dad, because all I looked at was one apple. I stopped taking care of the tree, so the rest of the fruit died. Logically, it makes sense. If I look at one apple and I don't prune the branches, don't water the tree, all of a sudden it's done. But the moment you take care of the tree again, you go back and but you put in the right soil, the right environment, people, friends, environment, whatever it is. You give it some sunshine. You start putting water on it, prune those branches. Dude, the fruit can be sweeter and more abundant than it ever was. Like at this point in my life, man, I love the idea of football. It's fun, right? But dude, I get to go and talk. I just talked to like, 40,000 people live down in Phoenix at an event that Dean Graziosi and Tony Robbins put on. I'll be in front of like 5,000 people in September at Funnel Hacking Live. I get to go do some pretty cool things. And I'm telling you, man, I love my life more now than I did football. Vastly more. I don't got to worry about my head getting beat up. I get the same kind of excitement to an extent, but I get to be home with my kids. I take them to school. I pick them up from school. I get to coach their football team. Like all these nuances. Because I took care of the tree, man. Had I not, I'd have always been missing that part of my life. And so anybody that's sitting there going, man, I want to have something great. I'm telling you, man, this is something like my clients do, people do. Because it's just a matter of going back and saying, look, I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to take care of this tree. I'm going to figure out how to water it, how to take care of it. And then what I can do is I can grow greater, sweeter, and more abundant fruit in time.
It's such a powerful idea, Anthony. And, you know, when you look at your story, like you said, you could have gotten so caught up on that one apple, which was you, your identity being wrapped up in football. But yeah. Of course, what we know about you is you had a terrible injury that had to shift. You had to change. And by doing so, you actually are doing something likely more powerful than you ever would have done had you carried on with that same path. I'm sure it's probably even fair to say that you were meant to be helping people find their own personal identity shift.
Yeah, this is my, you want to call it like, I don't know, serendipitous or legacy or like fate. It's just thing. I have gone through a whole lot of stuff in my life. At the same time, I didn't get darkened by it. There, if you look at prisons in America, 75% of the inmates are former foster kids like me. Half the homeless population are former foster kids. Less than 1% of us will graduate from college. So I've beat all those odds. And to be quite honest, they darken a lot of people. But on top of that, I went and climbed to some crazy cool heights. I don't just have a job hanging out, doing nothing, bored. Like I did. I was in the damn NFL and I've been on TV. And so it's like, not only did I not fall into those statistics, I got to some really crazy high ones. And so the way I look at it is I was given these problems so I can relate to people. Then I was given the ability to have like a heart and a compassion to empathize with them. And then I don't know how it worked out, man, but I got the skill sets to learn how to communicate. I can talk and I can share thoughts and I can kind of ideas. And I don't care about how people judge me. So I become an interesting vessel in a weird way. That's like a pattern interrupt. So like people look at me and they're definitive. Like there are times I've seen people like just look at me and then I start talking and you can see their face change. It's very interesting. Like I just try to do it sometimes. Like, how's your day going today, sir? Like what the, it's like at the bar place is weird. It's just weird, right? To them, it's like, you don't simply see this big 6'1", 230 pound dude talk to you like this. And so for me, it's like, I realize, yes, football would have robbed the world of the gift of me. That's how I look at it. And I feel like there's a gift to my humanity that I love to give. It's not this, I'm greater than anybody at all. I'm a regular dude, man. I just help my wife go fix stuff at her house. And we have a kid who has special needs. And when he needs, like, he takes a poop, like I'll go wipe his butt if I need to. Like, if she's doing, I'm like, I do regular guy things, man. But there's a part of my humanity that, yeah, definitely would have been shadowed and clouded if I'd have stayed in the NFL.
And I think what I want to make known to all the listeners out there is the story that Anthony just brought to fruition. We all have that capability. We all have that opportunity. We all have a story. We've all been through things. We've all experienced things. We've all had hardships, highs and lows that we've gone through for a reason, that we've gone through to tell another story, that we've gone through or experienced to be able to help or impact somebody down the road. But yet, if we are not aware enough, if we are not structured enough, solid enough in our identity or in our process in which we understand what this means, we are going to rob the world of us. We're going to rob the world of the ability to give them the gifts, blessings, and touch that we were truly meant to do and meant to live in. And so, Anthony, as people are kind of living in this and kind of going through this journey, I want to talk a little bit about the book. Where can they find the book? Where can they get the book? Where can they really learn a little bit more about identity shift and what that means for them?
Yeah, man, it's pretty simple. You go to identityshiftbook.com and it's a process, but it's not really long. When you go to Amazon, grab a book and come back. But what happens is I want this book to be one that everybody can consume. So I wrote it in a really digestible manner was the goal. I didn't want it to be a bunch of heady science, big words. I wrote it talking about computers at one point. Like, you know, if you read it, the intro, like computer, it's all about us. And then it goes also from concept to application. So I also wanted it to be something you could dog ear. You can take notes. You can do the work. Like you could actually do the work from the book, if that makes sense. Like where some people like get to like figure, I got this idea. Let me figure out. It's like getting Legos with no manual. Like, so I was like, all right, I'm going to tell you about the Legos. Here's the manual to make it work. And so that was the idea behind it. If you go to identityshiftbook.com, get a copy, then go back to that page, give the receipt and a code. You get a free audio book. You get a free digital book as well as a workbook. I haven't made a code for you guys. I should make a code. What code should we use for your listeners who listen to this to go get this cool stuff?
Let's have it.
Own your shift.
Well, that's for me, though. What's the,
yeah,
what's the
own it.
Own it?
Own it. Okay. Own it. We'll call it own it. So the code is going to be own it. So you go to there. So you go to identityshiftbook.com. On the third step, use the code own it. You'll get a free audio book with it. You'll get a free digital book, as well as getting the free workbook. And the workbook, what I did is I extracted the best like lessons and modules from my coaching programs, and I put it into a workbook so someone can go through it and actually be able to grind away at getting these things done. And I say grind in a positive way because I'm an athlete and I like the word grind, but it's not this arduous ruin your life stuff. It's really about how do I spend time getting into that portion we talked about of falling in love with today.
And I think the big thing too here, having gone through the book, having written books myself in similar manners, something that you guys are really going to value is that, and Anthony touched on it, is that you can actually work in the book. You can, there are diagrams that are open that you can actually start filling things in on. There are passages that I've just highlighted or dog-eared that, hey, I can go back to and pull this out. Or there's one-off quotes that are like transformational and shifting in your mentality that can continue to put you into this mindset to do powerful things day in and day out. So a great resource for you to dive into. And I really highly suggest and encourage you guys go to identityshiftbook.com. Use that code on it to get access to all of Truxy's documents and resources that he's provided for you guys.
I love how they call me Truxy, man. Not many people do that. Truxy.
There's like, yeah, and it comes back to my hockey heritage, you know, the deep down you go, everyone's name ends in Y in some way. And away you go.
You know, what's funny is the only other guy, well, the first guy that I can think of that did that was my high school sophomore receiver coach, Chris Matthews. He's called me Truxy. Hey, Truxy is always a thing. And he's actually, I believe he's a Canadian. He's big on hockey. It's weird.
But that's like, definitely where it comes from. Sense, yeah. Definitely where it comes from. You want to like, we talk about putting a muzzle on a dog. Hey, go grab the muzzy. Everything ends in Y. Everything. Dinsky, let's go grab Dinsky. That's dinner. You want to like.
Does poutine have a Y at the end? Like poutini or something?
You know what? That's just
that's delicious.
Poutine you just can't touch because it is so Canadian. Like it's just straight up. Poutine.
It is like Tim Hortons and maple syrup, bro.
Hey, that's Timmy's.
Is it Timmy's?
Oh, yeah, well,
Timmy. You ever watch that one show? What's that one show that takes place with? Oh man, I can't think of it. It's like they sit around outside of their house. One of the guys has like a girl, a chubby guy, the main.
Oh,
guy.
It is.
It's on Hulu.
It's gonna drive me crazy. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a small town in Ontario. Something Tales. I can't even think about it, but hilarious, unbelievable one-liners.
Letterkenny
Tales. Yes.
That's what it is. It's a hilarious show. When I bought my truck recently, the guy who was like doing like the car dealer guy, like put me on that. I would hang out there cause I was waiting for it to arrive and he put the thing on. It was hilarious, bro. The Canadians, you guys are like, I like Canadians, man. I had nothing bad about you guys to say.
Okay, so I know that you've probably looked at the ones on Hulu. Go to YouTube and type in Letterkenny. Go back to the first ones they did before it was cool and it was a TV show, like 2006, 2007. These are the ones where they just do straight one-liners. That's all they started as. Yeah. Those, you think the show is funny? Oh my God, you're going to be on the floor crying. That's like, it's just one after the next, after the next, after the next. It's like,
it's called Letterkenny One-Liners.
Just type in Letterkenny Originals and just Letterkenny Originals. The ones that were like from 2006, seven. I'll just send them to you. So you watch the right ones.
Me, bro, because I will watch them. I like the cry. Kind of stuff. Count me in, man. I'm all for it. That's the good stuff. I like stuff like off the wall like that. It's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony, it's so clear that in the story you've told us today, you have really moved into an amazing ownership state. You know, you talk about this moment in your life where just one of those struggles you faced would have brought somebody to their knees, let alone the seven or eight that you had happening within a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And you took your strengths and created really amazing and powerful shift to ultimately live in this amazing ownership state that you do today. And like you said, you are sharing this amazing gift with the world to be a vessel to help others find what their own personal shift is. So This is a question that our listeners love to hear, and we ask everybody, is in a word or a couple words or short sentence, what would you say is your definition of ownership?
Ownership. Oh, man. My definition of ownership. Man, I think it would end up being something in the realm of sacrifice. That's the word that comes to me, and I don't know why it comes to me yet. Give me a second. I don't want to take too long thinking about it, but for some reason that thing popped and jumped straight into my head. Because the thing, here's what I think. There it goes. I got it. It makes sense now, guys. So when I think about ownership, at the end of the day,
if you played football, you wouldn't be that quick.
Well, I'm usually fast. Well, in this world, I don't like to throw things out randomly because I have to, you know, I have to actually make sense of them. And I don't like to just randomly like say something. So I will process. Yeah. My brain processes ridiculous fast for these things. But so the word pops in and usually I got to take a moment, like think through what it is. But right now it just took longer. But here's what I think it is. When I hear ownership, it feels like work. That makes sense. Like to take ownership of something. Actually, I have a statement I call own your shift. And the first part is to own there's something to work on, right? And usually ownership means I'm sacrificing some part of me in a world, like in my inner world, something has, like, if I got to say I am owning, I'm not the greatest husband, I'm going to have to sacrifice that part of me that doesn't want to be seen as anything less, doesn't want to be outed for not being the greatest. I also look at ownership like, say I had this dream. I got to own this dream. And to own it, I have to sacrifice certain things. I can't smoke weed and do drugs all day long every day. And I probably can't go out and, you know, do craziness. It's when you own something, good or bad, something has to be removed. And I think there's that sacrificial part of it. But at the end of the day, man, it's a necessary sacrifice. Because I think a lot of us, we don't own our own lives at a level we need to be able to actually see our dreams come to fruition. Whether it's I don't own that, you know, I maybe am in a life I don't love living. Like I don't own the fact that like I have power to do something. So yeah, when I hear like ownership, like what does that mean? I think it has a lot to do with like sacrifice internally.
I love it. Because and I think we resonate heavily with that, knowing within the ownership space that you do have to give something up. You can't have everything all at once. You can have everything, but not all at once. And it's something that's iterative. It's something that's a process. Everybody's within it. And you had said, fall in love with the process, not the destination. And you're going to continue to be able to move forward on that journey. So listeners, as you go forward, as you move into your level of shifting, identifying what your identity is, be sure that you see yourself. Be sure you see what it is that you truly want to become. Identify that. And then be able to shift into that model, be able to have the structure, the strategy, the system that allows that to be something you can move towards and then be able to sustain it. Have coaches around you, have a mentor around you, have people around you, have a community around you, an environment that allows you to thrive in those spaces. And it'll be amazing as to how quickly that identity shift can happen and you can be moving into a state of true success. Now, we know success is different, so be different and own it.